This is BTV, Business Television. Discover companies to invest in.
Coming up this week, the Yukon, Ecuador, Nevada, Newfoundland, and Eastern Europe. Five companies with one thing in common, gold.
Hello, I'm Taylor Tone.
And I'm Jessica Katrichak. Welcome to BTV Business Television.
With gold hovering comfortably above $1,300 an ounce, we thought it would be a good time to check in on some gold mining companies.
While they all welcome an upward trend, they're well aware that the only predictable thing about gold is its unpredictability.
But some analysts believe there are indicators worth paying attention to. We recently asked Frank Holmes for his take on gold.
In the world of gold, I always say there's two drivers. There's the fear trade, which is real interest rates and inflation, and love trade. And love is about 70% of the demand. So it's so important to look at India's GDP per capita because it's highly correlated with love demand. So what's happening now is that love demand really hasn't slowed down, but we're seeing peak gold, peak supply from mines. They're falling. And there's no exploration. There's very few real discoveries. And the path to new supply coming on is maybe a decade away. So I think we're in a contraction period, and why we have world-class investors all of a sudden coming out and commenting that they're buying gold, because there's lack of money going into the space, and you have peak supply, but the China, India, and the Middle East, they continue to have rising GDP per capita.
Nearly 500 years after Spanish conquistadors started mining gold in Ecuador, an exploration company is attempting to rediscover two sources of that gold. Aurania's flagship asset combines years of historical research with the expertise of two PhD geologists and their winning track records in Ecuador.
I've got 33 years in the business now, worked in 19 different countries. My previous success story, though, of course, in Ecuador was with a company that I founded in 2001 called Aurelian Resources. And Aurelian found a 13 million ounce gold deposit, which is going to go in production in September of this year.
After making the Fruta del Norte discovery in 2006, Aurelian Resources was sold for $1.2 billion in 2008. But Keith Barron wasn't done yet.
I retired for about 3 weeks afterwards, and then I got terribly bored and decided I had to do something else and decided to go back to Ecuador. So really my success with Aurelian bankrolled the research and the startup really of Urania.
The extensive research Keith and a history professor conducted reinforced his belief that there were gold deposits to be found somewhere in Aurania's 2,000 square kilometer property. But how convinced initially was Aurania's president, Richard Spencer?
There was some skepticism. I was excited about the concept, the historical concept. But I'm an exploration geologist, so my attitude was, if Keith is right about the location of those historic mines being on the property, that would be fantastic.
Richard is convinced that history has left clues for geologists to find.
We know that we will find those areas because the old spoil heaps would be shedding a little bit of gold into the rivers, and our exploration will pick up that gold. I've worked in the adjacent area, as has Keith, where he made the Fruta del Norte gold discovery, and this is just an extension of that same belt.
Analyst Mark Reichman gives his take on Aurania and why he believes in the possibility of finding another great discovery.
When I think about it, there's really no better management team that's suited to explore in this region than Richard and Keith, who made a number of major discoveries at their previous company. It really hinges on success in replicating the discovery of mineral resources in the Lost Cities QDQ project area.
And just how high are the stakes?
We're aiming at tens of millions of ounces of gold and certainly tens of billions of pounds of copper.
At this stage, exploration has been a down and dirty process called stream sediment sampling.
We go into a stream, we take a couple of shovelfuls of material sitting on the bottom of the stream. We can analyze the clay, and the clay will tell us if there's something that's upstream that's weathering into that drainage and providing metals downstream. It's similar to panning gold and looking for the source. You follow it back upstream, follow the numbers, should be getting higher and higher and higher, and then eventually going upstream, they'll cut off. And that means that you've walked over the place and you've gone too far. So you backtrack a little bit and see if you can find what the source of the anomaly is. And in most cases, we find it within 10 minutes. Something that's outcropping, it's actually physically on the surface.
The geological data from stream sediment sampling has enabled the Orania team to identify 12 targets for scout drilling, beginning with Crunchy Hill.
Crunchy Hill, which will be our first area that we'll scout drill, it'll probably be between sort of five and seven holes of about 300, 350 meters each.
Crunchy Hill has a lot of characteristics of an epithermal gold-silver deposit. It's very, very similar to Fruta del Norte, which was a deposit that I was involved with finding in 2006.
But scout drilling is a long game strategy, so the plan for 2019 is to look beyond Crunchy Hill.
Drill is something in the industry we call the truth machine, because you really don't know until you actually start sampling the subsurface and seeing what you have.
Scout drilling is expected to begin soon. The results are highly anticipated, and not just by the company and existing shareholders either.
I know that all the majors are reading our stuff. At some point, I suspect that we'll get a phone call. Wouldn't talk about doing a deal with anybody right now, because we need to realize more value in the ground. We're elephant hunting, and that's what really, really excites me.
Will they be able to do it again, find another multi-million ounce gold discovery and sell it for over $1 billion? You be the judge. Follow the ongoing exploration at Orania.com.
Coming up next, a mid-tier gold company in the making.
Dundee will be about a 350,000 ounce gold equivalent producer.
And later, we all know that Newfoundlanders are friendly, but did you know they're also mining friendly?
It's really good to be in a place where you're not fighting every inch to get permitted.
We'll be right back. You're watching BTV.
Welcome back to BTV. We discovered a relatively unknown company on the track to become a mid-tier gold producer. Dundee Precious Metals is an international gold mining company. And as the company continues to optimize its assets, its true value will become increasingly apparent, according to President and CEO Rick Howes, the man at the top who literally started at the bottom.
Actually broke rock and did all those things that we as mining engineers dreamed of doing when we were young kids. I truly entered the industry at the front line of the business as a miner, essentially became a supervisor and worked my way up. I have a mining engineering degree as a background, but really spent my career mostly on the front end of the business, learning how the mining really makes the value for the business. I'm certainly proud of the team and what we've been able to accomplish so far. We have a strong management group, and I think we're able to execute successfully.
Dundee's business is spread across three continents. In Bulgaria, their Chelopech underground gold mine is in operation, and the Krumovgrad open pit gold mine will be in production during the first quarter of this year. Dundee is involved in several exploration projects in Serbia, including the Timok gold project. They also operate the Sumav smelter in Namibia, which processes concentrate from Chelopech and other third parties. And in Nunavik, Canada, their interest includes a 10% holding in Sabina Gold and Silver.
We acquired Chelopech in 2003 and essentially went through a significant investment to transform the operation, essentially quadrupling its production, cutting its costs in half. It now produces about 190 to 200,000 ounces of gold and about 35 to 38 million pounds of copper.
Dundee's road to success at Chelopech was paved with innovation.
Innovation played a big role in our work in transforming Chelopech. We went through a change in the mining methods from a sub-level cave to underground open stoping. We've also introduced a fair amount of digital innovation around the operations and management of the operations at Chelopech.
Production at Chelopech in Bulgaria is strategically linked to the Sumab smelter in Namibia.
Chelopech produces a concentrate that's considered complex and requires a specialty smelter to treat it. We bought the Sumab smelter in 2010 to essentially process the expanded copper concentrate that we were producing from Chelopech. So it is a specialty smelter, and it essentially takes almost all of Chelopech concentrate plus a significant amount of third-party concentrates as well.
The company was well aware that Sumab was an acquisition that needed significant upgrades to get the job done.
That work was completed in 2016. We've grown throughput by more than 50%. We continue to optimize the performance of the smelter to transform it into a positive free cash flow business.
With recent record quarterly production at Sumab, the company looks ahead to Krumovgrad, a high-grade open-pit gold mine in southern Bulgaria.
Krumovgrad will be a significant gold producer. We produce approximately 100,000 ounces of gold per year. We should be in production in Q1 2019 to deliver the project on budget, on schedule.
Krumovgrad will not only nearly double Dundee's cash flow, it will also change the company's profile in the industry.
Dundee will be about a 350,000 ounce gold equivalent producer. We'd put it in mid-tier range of gold companies.
And there's potential for much more growth in the future at the Timok Gold Project.
We've been exploring in Serbia since about 2005 and essentially have discovered a 2 million ounce sediment-hosted gold deposit.
As far as Rick House is concerned, the case for Dundee Precious Metals is a very compelling one.
We already have strong production and cash flow from our Chelopech mine, which last year generated 110 million in EBITDA. Near-term growth and strong cash flow from our new Krumovgrad project, and then organic growth beyond that with our Timok Gold project in Serbia. We sit with relatively no debt today, and our share price is relatively undervalued in the market. The future of the company looks fantastic, and I'm very excited by what I see for the future of the company.
It appears to be a future with steadily increasing gold production. Interested to see how that translates on the market? Well, you can follow Dundee Precious Metals on the TSX at DPM. After the break, a gold exploration company soon to become a producer.
It's all coming together with the first pour in the fall.
We'll be right back. You're watching BTV.
Welcome back to BTV. 2019 is the year Victoria Gold has been looking forward to for nearly a decade. The clock is ticking to the opening of Canada's next gold mine. Mining analyst Chris Thompson has been following the company.
We like Victoria because of its management team, very well qualified. We also like the asset, and we do see a value opportunity with the company as it re-rates towards first production Q3 of this year.
We're fully financed and in construction. Construction is about 65% complete and will be in production the fall of this year.
John's a very experienced individual, good track record in the mining industry. He surrounded himself with a very experienced team. I recognize that this team is amply qualified for delivering on expectations by way of building Eagle Mine.
The main project is Eagle in the Yukon. Geographically, it's about the center of the Yukon. We're currently building a power line, and we'll tie into Yukon Energy's grid and have access to reasonably priced hydroelectric power for the life of the mine. We're really excited about our first gold pour in the fall of this year. It's been 10 years from when we acquired the property. We went through exploration, development, feasibility studies, permitting, financing, and now it's all coming together with the first pour in the fall. It's a project that's in a safe jurisdiction. In full production, we'll produce 200,000 ounces per year. at an all-in sustaining cost of less than $7.50 per ounce. We're in the lower quartile in terms of cost per ounce. It means this little company will be cash flowing over $100 million per year. So a very significant gold producer.
The former CEO of Grey Panther Silver, a company with three producing silver mines, is now heading up a new company called New Range Gold. Let's find out why.
New Range Gold has a unique opportunity in Nevada, which is one of the best jurisdictions in the world to work. And we currently have a district scale project that encompasses the old Pamlico Gold District, which at the time it was in production in the 1800s was one of the highest grade gold districts in Nevada. Consequently, it's never really seen much in the way of modern day exploration. So in a sense, we're starting from an early stage, but we have more than 300 old mine workings on the project, about 8,000 meters of underground tunnels to work from, to map and sample, and some very, very high grades scattered around the project. There are some spots with some very coarse visible gold as well. But a lot of the gold is actually very, very fine. I think a lot of it's probably been overlooked in the past. I think what kind of sets New Range apart in a sense is that we have this project that hasn't really been properly explored for a long time, which is quite a unique situation in Nevada. So it's a terrific place to be. We've got excellent infrastructure. We're just off the major highway between Reno and Las Vegas. We have a power line crossing the property. So there's a lot of things going for the project, and we're really excited about it.
Coming up next, we asked when and got an answer.
I would expect that we would be seeing gold coming out of the ground at Valentine Lake around the year 2022.
We'll be right back. You're watching BTV.
Welcome back to BTV. In a province nicknamed The Rock, Marathon Gold wasn't the first mining company poking around the property at Valentine Lake in central Newfoundland. But they were the first to figure out that in the rock beneath their feet at Valentine Lake, there is definitely gold, a lot of gold. Marathon Gold's president and CEO explains.
Just didn't really get the work it needed. And when Sherry Dunsworth, the senior VP of exploration, and I saw it, like we just thought, wow, these people don't know what they're dealing with. Now we've got almost 4 million ounces of gold. Two-thirds of that is measured and indicated, and a third of that is inferred at a grade of close to 2 grams, all open pit material, except for a very small amount.
Mining analyst Mick Carew likes what he sees.
We like Marathon Gold because it owns the Valentine Lake Gold project in Newfoundland, which remains one of the very few undeveloped open pitable style gold deposits in North America. It also has a very large land package around the current resources, which we feel adds significant exploration potential to the already 4 million ounces that have been defined so far.
The Valentine Lake property is in the Central Greenstone Belt in a district that's seen its share of base metal mining, a big plus for Marathon Gold.
We're in a historic mining district that hosted the Buchan's world-class base metal mine, also the recently shut down Duck Pond mine that Teck had. So a lot of infrastructure was developed through those mines and through some hydroelectric development. So we've taken advantage of that. We have an all-weather road that goes from Millertown, which is the closest town, into the site. We're far enough away from people that we don't bother anybody, but at the same time, we can really get to it easily.
Solid infrastructure and a favorable mining jurisdiction are a great combination.
The Newfoundland government has looked at all their resources, and they've looked at oil and gas, which is very important to them, the pulp and paper industry, which is suffering right now, and they said, we want five new mines by 2030 in operation, and we're one of them. And they're working with us and with other companies to make that happen. And that's really great to see. It's really good to be in a place where you're not fighting every inch to get permitted.
His work at Marathon Gold is particularly satisfying. Valentine Lake could be the last big mining project Philip Walford oversees.
I am really excited about it because this is a great way to end a career as far as the management end goes. So I'm really happy. There are very few deposits that have this potential, the potential that we've developed. A couple hundred thousand ounces a year for 12 years, that's pretty good, but we think we can do even better than that.
The numbers are impressive, and Mick Carew is equally impressed with the people who've identified them.
They've grown the resource from something like 500,000 ounces in 2010 to approximately 4 million ounces today, during which we've seen some pretty difficult years in terms of junior mining and funding and financing. We feel that the management team have done very well and we're confident in what they're doing.
As infill drilling continues in 2019, the goal is to convert more of the inferred resource to measured and indicated. It's a long road ahead, but Philip Walford has some sense of where it's leading.
In thinking about the progress that we're making in our timetable, I would expect that we would be seeing gold coming out of the ground at Valentine Lake around the year 2022. It's just always been a pleasure working with gold. I like the stuff.
Recent drilling results confirm the continuity of high-grade gold between adjacent drill holes. It's full steam ahead to their next stage of development, a pre-feasibility study.
Before we wrap up, some precious metals advice from this mining analyst.
With respect to gaining precious metals exposure, investors have an array of investment choices, including bullion, ETFs, mutual funds, and precious metals mining stocks. While investors should consult financial and tax advisors who are familiar with their situation, we do think publicly traded equities of metals producers can offer an attractive way to invest, given the disproportionate percentage impact higher commodity prices may have on a company's bottom line and valuation for a given percentage increase in the commodity itself.
Can gold prices continue to sustain an upward trend?
Some analysts say yes, others aren't so sure.
But as always, everyone agrees it's best to stay informed.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us today. For BTV, I'm Jessica Kasprzak.
And I'm Taylor Tone. Until next time, may your portfolio prosper.
BTV, Business Television. Discover companies to invest in.
This week, new technology for renewable energy. An established cannabis company spreads its wings. And move over VR, AR, augmented reality is ready for takeoff.
Hello, I'm Taylor Tone.
And I'm Jessica Kasprzak. Welcome to BTV Business Television.
On this episode, we feature small cap companies that are on the leading edge of their respective sectors.
We check out a company that's developed a technology that makes solar generation a much more viable proposition.
We look at a cannabis accessories company that's entered the cannabis retail business, plus an augmented reality company that will add some sizzle to your online shopping experience.
But first, global Wi-Fi demand is growing rapidly, And with more mobile users and more connection issues, Edgewater Wireless is revolutionizing the $33 billion Wi-Fi market with solutions that enhance speed and reliability.
At Edgewater Wireless, we make Wi-Fi better. We're revolutionizing Wi-Fi with our custom high-performance silicon solutions. The universal problem that I'm sure that everyone has felt is when you're trying to connect to Wi-Fi and you can't, or your video gets all pixelated, or your gaming doesn't work, you get disconnected. That is due largely to density. And what we've done at Edgewater Wireless is come up with a patented approach to address the density challenge. The traditional approach from Wi-Fi vendors has been used since 1999, and it's based on the equivalent of a single lane road, which works great if you have one vehicle on the road. But if you add traffic, very much like a road, Wi-Fi breaks down. Now at Edgewater Wireless, we've taken a revolutionary approach and we've built the industry's only multi-lane highway for Wi-Fi. We began to execute on some of the major opportunities we've been working on, like our project with Kroger Corporation. We're now an approved vendor with the fifth largest cable operator in the US. Most importantly, look for applications on our chipset that really drive us into the residential market. Because for Wi-Fi, the lion's share of the business is residential.
If you think AR, augmented reality, is just another tech buzzword, one that can simmer on your investment back burner a little while longer, you should probably think again. I'll let Evan Gappelberg of Nextech AR Solutions explain what AR can do and how his company is shaking up this rapidly expanding industry. But let's clear up one thing right off the bat. Augmented reality should not be confused with virtual reality.
Virtual reality is when you put on the goggles and you escape reality. You're in an alternate reality. Augmented reality is when you overlay digital objects into the real world. AR is something that can be used as a business tool, which is what we're doing at Nextech.
Some people are just hardwired for turning the promise of innovation and imagination into tangible products and solutions. Gappelberg is one of those people.
I actually am a serial entrepreneur with a Wall Street background. I actually invented the first LED light-up toy in the 1990s and licensed that and ultimately sold it to Disney.
Nextech is the latest destination in Evan Gappelberg's tech journey. The company's business model is rather straightforward.
We've identified three different verticals. One is AR e-commerce, one is AR for education and training, and one is AR for live streaming video conferencing.
AR literally adds another dimension to e-commerce.
You're able to take a product, it could be a coffee machine, see how it fits into your decor and see if it actually fits on the countertop that you'd like to place it in before actually even bringing it into your home. It's a digital twin.
According to Gappelberg, AR is exactly the boost needed to accelerate the growth of e-commerce. 90% of all shopping is still done in store.
But it's rapidly shifting. It's actually a $30 trillion global marketplace. Currently, e-commerce represents about $3 trillion. Over the next 2 years, it's going to accelerate, and you'll see about $5 trillion worth of shopping going on at home through e-commerce. Using Nextech's augmented reality technology, we think we're going to actually accelerate the pace where people will feel more comfortable.
Increased comfort with online shopping is extremely important.
The conversion rates are really, really low when it comes to e-commerce. You only get about a 2.5% or 3% conversion rate. So out of every 100 people that might come to an e-commerce site, only 3 people actually buy.
Some of the world's largest retailers with an e-commerce presence have already begun to develop some AR features in-house, strictly for their own use.
These are multi-billion dollar companies that have invested in the technology in-house. They're not sharing it. What we're doing is bringing AR to the small, medium, and large size e-commerce companies, and we're democratizing it. For a small monthly fee, you can access our platform and integrate AR onto your e-commerce site.
Nextech AR can also be used on a very familiar platform used by over 1.5 billion people.
If you want to reach a target audience, Facebook is where you go. We've actually figured out a way to integrate 3D advertising into the Facebook platform. And it's literally drop and drag a 3D object into your feed, and it allows interaction that wasn't available before, where you can actually see the object in 3D. From an advertising perspective, that's a very big deal.
Though Nextech's AR is currently focused on e-commerce, e-learning, and live streaming, that's really only the beginning.
It's literally just limited by your imagination. And that's always a fun place for me to just be able to imagine a new experience that you might have using augmented reality and then turning that into a business. That gets me up every morning.
As the adoption of AR accelerates, Nextech has been keeping pace with strategic acquisitions and AR technology launches. You can track their progress on the OTC under the symbol NEXCF, and on the CSE, their symbol there is NTAR.
Coming up next, quite possibly your herb garden will never be the same.
And with legalization here, we're excited to offer beginner-friendly home grow kits later this year.
And later, he didn't have a crystal ball, but he may be right.
Really what we saw was that distributed energy was going to be the future of the electricity system.
We'll be right back. You're watching BTV.
Welcome back to BTV. It looks like 2019 may be a blazing year for cannabis. TheGreenEntrepreneur.com polls successful entrepreneurs on what to expect. Here are the top three things they came up with. First of all, cannabis will become even more mainstream, according to the CEO of Kush Coal Holdings. He says thought leaders, CEOs, government officials, and local community leaders will continue to drive the new and emerging narrative in the mainstream media. He continues to say that cannabis is here to stay, and the people buying the products are our neighbors, physicians, stay-at-home parents, young adults, seniors, and more. Secondly, Latin America will make a big play. Jessica Billingsley, co-founder and CEO of MJ Freeway, says Colombia and Mexico are poised to establish their global dominance in short order, which leads to her prediction that cannabis will soon become a very valuable, sizable addition to Colombia's local economy. And finally, Big Pharma will join the CBD party. While beverage and alcohol companies are joining the CBD bandwagon, it makes sense that Big Pharma will step in too, says Dr. Jonathan Rothbard, senior research scientist at Cotexco Pharmaceuticals. He also says there will be a plethora of startups, but relatively few serious companies designing cannabis-derived drugs will make it far. For the obvious reason that unlike natural products, new pharmaceuticals will take an average of 10 years to develop.
In the cannabis sector, a company with a 10-year track record is a true veteran. Alberta-based High Tide is both a retailer and a manufacturer of cannabis lifestyle accessories. Their products are sold not only in Canada, but online and in over 3,000 stores worldwide. But does High Tide have what it takes to sustain the pattern of growth they've been accustomed to? Raj Grover takes us back to the origins of the company he founded in 2009.
Having experience in distribution and retail prior to High Tide, I noticed that the competition for distribution and retail of smoking accessories was lukewarm at best. And I saw an opportunity there, and I started Smoker's Corner in 2009, which almost immediately took off and became Canada's largest counterculture chain. And then subsequently in 2011, I started RGR Canada, which is our wholesale company.
Raj Grover's instinct about a rising tide of cannabis has proven to be an excellent wave to ride.
High Tide manufactures upwards of 3,500 SKUs of different cannabis lifestyle accessories, such as water pipes, vaporizers, bubblers, grinders, dugouts, rolling papers, and tons of other innovative products that are manufactured in China, US, and the EU. These are essential products that customers around the world are passionate about, and they need these products to consume their cannabis. We have kind of been the early adopters to bring these products into our stores over the last 10 years. We've also become an industry leader in the e-cig market and are helping thousands of Canadians kick their tobacco habit. And with legalization here, we're excited to offer beginner-friendly home-grown kits later this year.
Being a manufacturer, a wholesaler, and a retailer has definitely paid off.
Being downstream means one thing, having more access to the end consumer. The margins in retail are quite attractive, and the feedback that we get from the cannabis enthusiasts that visit our stores is invaluable. It guides our manufacturing priorities. It also keeps us on top of what they're looking for, and basically helps us grow organically in sync with our customers.
But High Tide is also in sync with many of their competitors' customers.
At High Tide, we're proud to manufacture and distribute to many other cannabis retailers in Canada, leveraging our decade of experience in accessories for their success. There's thousands of accessories to learn from, so we put together these customized merchandising programs so our clients always have exactly what they're looking for their customers.
The growth of High Tide extends beyond RGR Canada and Smoker's Corner.
Famous Brands makes products in conjunction with celebrities such as Snoop Dogg, Trailer Park Boys, Paramount Pictures, Lionsgate Studios, and many others. In just 2 short years, it's established itself as a foremost accessory brand worldwide. Famous Brands is also working with 2 major feature films this year, which is quite exciting. And this is just a taste of the many branding opportunities that Famous brings to High Tide.
With the October 2018 legalization of cannabis in Canada, High Tide was ready with an aggressive plan to open retail outlets.
We currently have 10 Canna Cabana locations operating in Alberta, with another 26 locations in various stages of construction. We've also signed 2 LOIs to acquire 2 separate locations in Saskatchewan, as well as we've been selected by 2 different Ontario lottery winners, and we are helping them to assist and develop cannabis retail outlets for them. We also have a distribution agreement with the Ontario Cannabis Store, and then also we've applied in BC and we are awaiting approval.
For High Tide, growth in the Canadian market is just the beginning.
The cannabis industry worldwide, I feel it's still in its infancy, and High Tide being an established company with over a decade of experience in the cannabis industry is moving quickly into the markets in North America and EU. With more international markets opening up to cannabis, I think we are perfectly positioned to enter and dominate these new and exciting markets, and I think this is the most exciting opportunity for High Tide.
As High Tide continues to evolve from a counterculture enterprise to an over-the-counter mainstream business, you can follow their progress on the CSE. Their stock symbol is HITI.
After the break, find out how boatloads of research funding in one industry has become a game changer for another.
That capital has driven price reductions. We're only going to see massive growth potential in the coming years.
We'll be right back. You're watching BTV.
Welcome back to BTV. In parts of the world where electricity can cost up to 50% more than it does here in North America, much more attention is paid to renewable energy. Iguana Technologies is a developer and manufacturer of advanced energy storage and power control systems. Can they really make residential and small commercial power generation more viable and profitable? The company's founder thinks they can.
I grew up in Calgary and worked a little bit in the oil and gas business and saw where the future was headed with climate change and all of that. And really what we saw was that distributed energy was going to be the future of the electricity system, where you have small generators generating power where it's used. And we decided we wanted to make the technology that was going to enable all that to happen and connect those different generation sources to the grid.
A wonderful vision, but not a simple task. And yet Brent and his colleagues persisted and succeeded in designing a power control system that enables generation sources, such as storage batteries and electricity grids,
to play nicely together.
The unique feature and the core technology we patented gave us very high efficiency connecting low voltage DC sources like batteries to the grid. The core of that is an inverter that takes DC power and connects it to the AC power on the grid. We've built several layers of other controls around that that help take care of the battery, meet all the regulations that are required to connect to the grid, and get the best performance out of the system.
But while Eguana made the necessary advances in power electronics, they definitely benefited from advances going on elsewhere in lithium-ion battery technology.
The electrification of the auto sector is one of the primary drivers of capital into the advancement of battery technologies. It's the same battery technology that we use in our integrated products. That capital has driven price reductions, and that's driving an economic proposition for consumers at the residential level to buy and install fully integrated batteries alongside their solar installations.
Though Eguana has partnered with a lithium battery supplier, their technology has versatility built right into its DNA.
Our power controls allow us to be agnostic to the battery technologies on the market today. We have settled on lithium technology with LG Chem at the moment. That is leading the battery technology race. It accounts for approximately 80% of the battery devices in residential and small commercial systems globally, but the technology does lend itself to any battery chemistry on the market.
With the LG Chem partnership in place, Eguana has transitioned into the next phase of its development.
The company's not a startup. We have invested the dollars and the capital into the technology. It's in its third generation. There's over 6,000 systems installed in the field around the world. We've now moved to what I call the execution phase, where we start to build up channel management.
Eguana already has 28 distribution partners in the US. The early focus is on markets like Puerto Rico and Hawaii, where energy costs are high. In Australia, the company has brought on 12 distribution partners.
That's a key market for the company. They have a $200 million government subsidy to install 40,000 residential systems over the next 2 years. That equates to about $500 million industry just in South Australia alone. And of course, we did sign a deal for the largest market in the world in Germany with Hanwha Qcells to drive our integrated products into their residential applications.
In the past, Hanwha Qcells have sold an integrated battery with about 8% of their rooftop solar installations.
Qcells last year installed over 17,000 rooftop systems. They're driving towards the European average of 50% attachment rate. With our product, that would represent somewhere between 30 and 40 million in recognized revenue should Qcells hit that target.
This is the leading supplier of solar systems in Europe. They were able to choose any technology in the world to go alongside their solar systems, and they chose ours.
The real excitement comes from the fact that this is the beginning of the renewable energy movement. We're only going to see massive growth potential in the coming years. We're in early, we're in first, and we believe we have the best product.
Will renewable energy generate ongoing profitability? You can track their progress and follow Eguana Technologies on the TSX Venture Exchange. Their symbol is EGT.
After the break, a company that makes a case for ingesting instead of inhaling.
If we are able to help change the consumption habits of even 1% of the global marketplace who smoke, we could save 60,000 lives a year.
We'll be right back. You're watching BTV.
Welcome back to BTV. According to the FDA, while nicotine keeps smokers addicted, it's the smoke and the 7,000 chemicals contained in it that causes the disease and death. Next up, Lexaria Bioscience and their recent partnership with a world-leading tobacco company.
Lexaria Bioscience has the actual opportunity of changing the world. We can do it through saving lives, making health improvements for any number of people who are ingesting any number of drugs and molecules like pain relief, cannabinoids, and nicotine. Everybody knows that smoking is not healthy. Our technology allows for the delivery of drug molecules like cannabinoids or nicotine through ingestible means, things that you swallow. And that could be a pill, it could be a syrup, it could be a cup of coffee. That technology, which is called Dehydratec, is optimized to carry that drug across the intestinal wall and get more of it into your bloodstream more quickly than it otherwise could. And we've tested it in vitro, in vivo, and in human clinical studies. And we're partnering with companies that can help us do it in America and elsewhere in the world. We actually have 7 different R&D projects that we're launching in the first half of 2019. We're also continuing to work on our patent portfolio. We have 10 patents granted already and over 50 more that are pending. If we are able to help change the consumption habits of even 1% of the global marketplace who smoke, we could save 60,000 lives a year.
Before we wrap up, some great advice about small cap investing from Canaccord's Brent Todd.
Investors in the small cap arena should be wary of businesses that change to flavor of the day businesses overnight. You could have a company that was once a mining company and now all of a sudden it's a blockchain company. Those aren't really complementary businesses. Second thing is, just because a company's share price is low, doesn't mean it's necessarily a cheap stock. So you could have a company trading at $1 a share, but if it has 200 million shares out, it is a $200 million company. So always look at the market cap.
Well, there's certainly never any shortage of totally fascinating small cap companies priced right for investors.
I think their stories are really inspiring and their vision is commendable.
I agree. And you want them all to do incredibly well.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us today. For VTV, I'm Jessica Katrachak.
And I'm Taylor Tone. Until next time, may your portfolio prosper.